This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
So what trial have you gone through lately after the trial is over with? You now recognize, I need Jesus. And sometimes God will put stuff in your life and you don't know what to do, reminding you, I need to depend on God. And that's a great place. It might not feel comfortable for us, but it's a great place for God. And God is waiting for all of us to say, I don't know what to do. I need you.
Are you searching for direction or just need a word from God? Join the World Changers Nation for service every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Together, we're understanding grace and empowering change. Text Watch Now to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about our services and streaming times. We're in this together, no matter where we are. We are World Changers. See you online.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today.
Go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 through 7. We have been in a series entitled Understanding the Trials of Faith, answering that question, why is it that believers have to go through suffering? Is suffering something that God actually uses to mature us? Is suffering of God or is suffering of the devil? Why we got to have trouble? And so we want to look at that, but we want to spend time today talking about the trials that Peter had to go through, that Paul had to go through, and examining the faith of Abraham, and really get into this today so that you can understand that when you're confronted with trials challenging you and your faith, that you have some understanding where you can, you know, not be frustrated by it, not run from it, not fear it, but to stand up against it. And, you know, it's kind of like, I love the scripture, be still and know that God is God. And in those situations where you're being tried, be still and know. So there's some things that we need to know when our faith is on trial. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, just for a season, if need be, for a season, if need be. So this is interesting. There may be a need for certain things to happen in your life to get you prepared for certain assignments in your life, okay? If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, so that's a real thing, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and that perishes, though it be tried with fire. So he says the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. Now, what is that? I know what most people traditionally would say about and how they would define the trial of your faith, but let me kind of give that to you first so you can really, you know, it'll have impact as we go through this. The trial of your faith is not just testing your faith to see whether or not you have faith or not. Somebody says, well, you know, God got to test me to see if I have faith or not. That's not what the trial of your faith is. The trial of your faith is not testing your faith to see whether or not you have faith or not. Neither is it testing you to see if your faith is sufficient or not. Okay, so you have to go through a test to see if you got faith or not, or you have to go through a test to see if it's sufficient or not. That is not the definition of the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith is literally the purifying of your faith. It is the removing of the impurity of your dependence upon self. It is purifying your faith by removing the impurities of your dependence upon self. Now, I took a whole lot of scriptures and reading a whole lot of books of the Bible to bring that into one. But I thought, just like everybody else thought, it was just testing to see if I got faith or testing to see if it was sufficient or not. No, it's actually purifying your faith, actually purifying your faith from you depending on self. Dependence upon self is what's going to be put on trial. What's going to be put on trial is this. Are you depending on God or are you depending on self? The trial of your faith, not the trial of your works. The trial of your faith, not the trial of your accomplishments. The trial of your faith. And that's going to be tried to see whether or not you have declared independence from God, saying, I don't need God because I got money. I don't need God because I got education. Or you made your mind up, regardless of what comes in my life, I am going to depend on God and not depend on myself. And you'll find that this whole system, this whole life, Satan's purpose is to get you to declare dependence from God. His purpose in everything about our lives is to get us to a place where we say we don't need God, we don't want God, and we don't depend on God, because that's what he did. He declared independence from God with two words, I will. And he went right in the Garden of Eden and tried to do the same thing with Adam and Eve, and did. And they thought, well, the deal is, you know, if we'll separate from God and do what he told us not to do, then we can be like God. This whole deal is about it. And so Jesus came. Satan's job is try to get you to declare independence from God, saying you don't need him. And Jesus came to get you to operate in complete dependence upon God. Man, all these years, after 40-something years, couldn't I see that? That is the theme of our life and this Bible. Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but you know you can't have that abundant life unless you have complete dependence upon him. John 15:5 says, God says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you're going to bear fruit, you're going to have to be dependent upon the vine, because without him, you can do nothing. Oh, my God. Are you getting this now? So, the attitude towards God under grace, and we are no longer under the law, but we're under grace, amen? So the attitude towards God under grace should be, here's the attitude that we should have right now today, the attitude should be complete dependence upon him. And I don't know if that's so in church today. All we do is create new rules and new things to do so we can give ourselves a credit and boast about what we have done. And that's where the trial of your faith comes in that. Until there's no boasting, until you know it's not you without God, until you understand it can only be you with God. You were not created and designed to exist without him. So there's no need of you trying to be like God without God, because that's not going to happen. And the whole point of Jesus dying and coming and shedding his blood and his body is so that you can get to a place in your life where you can depend on God. So what trial have you gone through lately after the trial is over with? You now recognize, I need Jesus. And sometimes God will put stuff in your life and you don't know what to do, reminding you, I need to depend on God. And that's a great place. It might not feel comfortable for us, but it's a great place for God. And God is waiting for all of us to say, I don't know what to do, I need you. Instead of you going around being deep and pretending like you got it all together, there are some things in your life, if you hadn't had it happen yet, it will. There are some trials in your life that'll show up that say, I can't do this, God. I'm just a branch. Say out loud, I'm just a branch. I need divine. But not all Christians think like that. No, some Christians think, no, I'm not a branch. I got a Holy Ghost. And then you lead a Holy Ghost and then go on and figure out how to do something on your own. Yeah. I finally get it. suffering may could be understood in light of what we're getting ready to talk about. So how does God plan on perfecting and purifying this dependence on Him? Since that is the object, the objection here, how does God plan on perfecting and purifying this dependence on Him? Because as long as you have trials and you come out and you still don't get it, it's going to be some more. It's going to be some more because somehow you keep coming out giving yourself credit. Until He can take that sense of you wanting to be important and can humble yourself and say, when somebody even asked you, how did this happen? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But it's not like that. There's a little arrogance in church these last days. People are trying to build their image up. They're trying to come up with the five things you have to do this. You got to do that. They feel like they got the system down. But you don't know God. See, God might use mud to open somebody's eyes up, but don't try to marry that method, because the next time He'll use wheat to open their eyes up, and the next time He'll just blow on you, open your eyes up, and the next time He'll just cross His arms and say, open your eyes up. Don't marry methods, because He's too big for you to figure out. Only thing you need to know is I need Him and I depend on Him. And certainly in the time that we live on right now, the time that we're living in right now is the opportunity for you to declare complete dependence upon God. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with that. I went to the store to get something, ain't nothing on the shelves. I went to look at that and inflation got so high. It was this price last week. It went up last. Certainly now is the time for you to lift your hands up and declare complete dependence upon God. And while the world is freaking out and have no idea what to do, we who are in the body of Christ recognize that we have a vine that has never let us down. Oh, my God, help me, y'all. Glory to God, help me. Now, see, here's what I believe. I believe that this provision is found, this provision of God perfecting and purifying this dependence upon Him, I believe it's found in suffering. I know that's a bad word to some Christians. I believe it's found in suffering. I don't believe in that. Well, I don't know who you think you are. Jesus, the captain of our salvation, was made perfect through this suffering. I'll show you that in a moment in Scripture. If Jesus had to go to hell, how come you don't think you got to go through some hell? Jesus had to go to hell. All right. I'm not saying prepare to be defeated by the things you suffer. I'm saying prepare to let go of your self-dependence by the things you suffer. Are you listening to me? So this might be the greatest explanation for suffering by God's people. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 10 through 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Let's look at it in the King James and then the New Living Translation. Now, my challenge today is I got to attack all that religious stuff that we've heard all this time. And the only way I know to do that is to turn the Scriptures and to challenge you to just read the Word and believe it. You have to make your mind up if you're going to believe God's Word. Now, for some people, they just hold on to what they've always heard. And what happens there is your tradition has made the Word of God of no effect. In other words, you don't believe the Word, you believe what you have traditionally always known instead of believing what the Word has to say. All right, now notice, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul is talking here, you've known my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity. He says, you've known my persecution, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. That's the key thing. He says, I've gone through all these things, but God's delivered me out of all of them. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly. How many of you are attempting to live godly? Okay. He says, they shall suffer persecution. So somebody says, well, you know, I'm saved by grace. It doesn't stop at salvation. Grace will teach you how to live godly. See. He says, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Now, look at this in the NLT. Okay, so to me, that pretty much says it. It's like, okay, so if you're saved and you plan on living godly, you're going to be suffering some persecution. But the question that we're trying to answer is why? But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted at Antioch, Iconia, Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. All right, so yes, you will suffer persecution, but your dependence upon Him, here's what you get: delivered from all of it. Why would God allow you to suffer persecution and then commit to deliver you out of all of it? So when you're out of it, you can say, this is the Lord's doing. A lot of us work real hard to get out of stuff on our own, and you think you made it out only for it to return back again and again and again. But when God delivers you, it's complete. You come out not only delivered, but with the wisdom of what happened and how not to repeat it again. See, some of us come out of trouble and we leave the most important thing in trouble: wisdom. Bring wisdom out. Everything you go through, you ought to know more. You ought to get smarter after each trial. And the number one thing you need to know is I depended on Jesus, and like Paul, He delivered me out of them all. Some of you might be going through a trial right now, but I have good news for you this morning. Jesus has committed to deliver you out of them all. Okay? So instead of you going around trying to figure out a way to get out of it, the first base for you should be, I have complete dependence on Jesus to deliver me out of them all. Oh, what you going through? Da, 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 da. Yeah, but Jesus will deliver me out of this. And after a while, you'll build a backlog where you can do a flashback of testimonies, and you realize he delivered you out of that 5 years ago. He delivered you out of that 3 years ago. 2 years ago, He delivered you out of that. A year ago, He delivered you out of that. 8 months ago, He delivered you out of that. 3 months ago, He delivered you out of that. This morning, when I rose, church, He delivered you out of that. And there should be a confidence that's building that out of all these things, He delivered me out of that. And look at this in verse 12. He says, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. Now, I don't know about you, if that was the first scripture they showed me when I desired to get saved, I don't know if I would have finished saying the prayer. I mean, who wants to go through trouble? Persecution. But there's a reason. There's a purpose for it. And for you to run from it, avoid it, and not see what's happening here, you're going to limit what God's trying to do for you. You were put here for a reason. You were put here for a purpose. There's an assignment that's on your life. There's an anointing and an equipping that God has put on you to do that. There's a season for you to rise and be prepared for that. But there must be preparation and a maturing to bring you to that place, that ultimate place that you're here for. And you can't run away from the preparation process of getting you ready to do the thing that God has anointed you to do. There's an anointing on each of you that anointing on you just causes you to stand out above everybody and anybody else. There's nobody like you when that anointing is on you. But you're not mature enough sometimes for Him to do things. There's certain things He's ready to do. You're not mature enough yet because you think you know more than God, which means you think you depend on yourself. There's still too much confidence in yourself. Even Jesus came and said, I can't do nothing except the Father do it. And we're still saying, well, I'm going to pray for 5 hours and I'm going to fast for 4 hours. Hey, oh, there you go. I got it. Now, stop. You need God. Stop it. Stop all this church plan stuff. I realize some Christians don't even love God. They don't care nothing about Him. They're into the games of the church. I'm done with that. I'm done with all that. I don't ain't got time to be playing no church.
you don't want to hear the truth, don't come around me. Because if you're more concerned about your image than you are about people, and you're more concerned about what it make you look like than you are about what God's trying to do, well, I ain't going to let nobody know I'm going through this, because they're going to think that I'm not a powerful Christian. I know you already ain't a powerful Christian, because if you don't depend on God, you're just an imitation of life. You're just this fake symbol that's trying to pretend like you power. But see, you can't fake the anointing. Hallelujah. You can try to fake it. You can jerk, jiggle, and fall out. But the anointing is not the anointing unless it removes burdens and destroys yokes. And you can't fake that. You can push people down. You can spit on people. You can kick people and make it look like you're anointed. But the anointing of the Holy Ghost cannot be imitated. It's got to be authentic or not there. Look at Luke 22:42 in the NLT. Luke 22:42 in the NLT. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, so here's Jesus, the Son of God, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's going through this serious attack on his soul. One translation says all the way to depression. He was resisting to such a point he started to bleed through his pores. And he said, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. That's the human talking to you. Every one of us have asked that. I know I have. God, please take this suffering from me. When is it going to be over? But I saw the dependence of Jesus when he said this. After he said that, he says, yet. I know what I just said. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. I want your will to be done, not mine. So through intense suffering in Gethsemane, Jesus's unfailing dependence on the Father was expressed in these words, not my will, but thine be done. Have you ever thought about your life when you're living a life and everything's about your will? Your prayers are about your will. Lord, do this for me. Lord, give me that. Coming to church is about your will. Trying to get some more knowledge of the Word is about your will. But when will the day come where your will is no longer at the top of the list? His will is. God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why that's happening, but let your will be done. Somebody says, well, that ain't God's will. Well, most trouble ain't. But it's still something that you can grow through. So, Lord, whatever you're trying to pull out of me, put in me, rearrange in me, change in me, not my will. I depend on you. Let yours be done. I don't know what's down the street, around the corner, and behind the building. I don't know what that perfect, 100% flawless will of God is for my life. And I don't know the preparations that are all needed and necessary for me to be ready for that. But you do. Yes. I don't. How do we pretend to act like we even know what we're doing? I often wake up declaring, I don't know what I'm doing with a lot of things. But you do. And that's why I say there's a little arrogance in the church. We wake up, actually think we know what we're doing. We think we know the path we ought to take. And the Bible says some guys wake up, go down the path, and they have no idea what they're doing. They won't depend on me. They won't look to me. How about getting up in the morning and say, Lord, I depend on you. Show me what to do today. Show me what path I need to go down today. You will be shocked of the completion of a day when you have said, not my will, but let thy will be done. Now, somebody say, oh, but you got to watch out, Brother Dollar. That's a scary thing. I don't care. I want his will. Why would I want to be scared out of his will? I want to know his will. Listen, Jesus had to go through hell to get to the will
that God had planned for him in that physical body.
He had to go through a hell. And you think you ain't got to go through nothing to get to the place where God called you to? When the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men could become the Son of God, the sons of God?
If trouble isn't God's will for believers, why does it seem like we always experience it? In his series, Why Is This Happening? The Reason for Trials and Suffering, Creflo Dollar explores the persecution of the godly and the refining that comes from it.
God's bottom line objective is to get you to a place where you declare your dependence on God. That's going to require for the gold to be put in the fire. Jesus declared totally dependent upon God. Your faith has got to be put on trial so that God can perfect it for what he's trying to use you to do. And he needs to get you like he got Jesus. He's like, listen, Jesus says, I do nothing except the Father.
All five life-changing messages can be yours today for a love gift of just $30 or more. Call the number on your screen or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore to get yours today and be free. It's time to take a grace-filled journey with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, July 14th through 16th at the 2022 Grace Life Conference.
God's not sitting there saying, I'm going to get you. You're going to hell now. I'm getting you. You'll be in hell by 12 o'clock. Grace would not be grace if you had to earn it. Grace is only grace if it's a gift that you received in spite of yourself.
The revelation of grace changed my life because it taught me to rest. It taught me just to have faith in what it is that Christ has already provided to me.
The future is bright, and we've got to go towards the things that God has for our life. And so that's the type of breakthrough that takes what grace has made available.
Meet us live at the World Dome or online July 14th through 16th for the 2022 Grace Life Conference. Reserve your seat. Register now. Text Grace Life to 51555 or call the number on your screen. Visit gracelife-conference.org today.
We must respond to the spiritual laws of God. A proven principle Taff and I have operated in for many, many years is the law of sowing and reaping. Now, when you sow into this ministry, you are sowing into good ground. Why? You see, your seed is not wasted. In fact, your seed is a twice-sown seed, meaning that it'll work in different places at the same time. Your financial seed goes toward helping hurting people, both globally and within our local communities. We thank God for your support.
You may support Creflo Dollar Ministries outreach missions by calling us or visiting our website. You enrich lives in ways you can't begin to imagine. God bless you.
Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app brings you live church services direct to your smart TV and much more. You'll also get access to Changing Your World Network, streaming grace messages and exclusive content 24 hours a day right in the app. Get unlimited streaming through Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV absolutely free. Visit your app store, download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app now to start streaming. For more information, visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.